Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Ed, and Steve Jordahl joins us now. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Well, the Super Bowl set, it's 2 weeks from now, right?
Yes.
And we have the Kansas City Chiefs making their first appearance since Len Dawson led them to the title.
Title, right.
Which against the Minnesota Vikings.
And it'll be their third appearance. They were in Super Bowl I. They lost to the Green Bay Packers.
35-14.
That would have been...
65?
No, that was the first one was
66.
Because the Packers then beat the Oakland Raiders the next year. I know. And then 67 was the famous Jets against the Colts, Joe Namath.
Holding the number one up.
And then the Chiefs won, beat the Purple People Eaters of the Minnesota Vikings.
The first of four that the Vikings lost.
Yes.
They're tied with the Buffalo Bills, I think.
Right.
But the Kansas City Chiefs will take on the San Francisco
49ers.
You know, I'm more of a college guy when it comes to sports.
Right.
But this time of year, I do like the see who's going to prevail in the professional ranks. But you're talking about the San Francisco 49ers, Brian Fisher's team.
Right.
Against the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the old adage. The
Chad Groening's team.
Chad Groening's team?
He's a Chiefs fan?
Yes.
Okay.
The immovable force, no, the immovable object versus the irresistible force. Huh?
That
is that some
49ers
kind of
defense?
I got some kind of Einstein theory there. What is that?
It's something to do with physics.
Wasn't he a physics
guy?
You
and I are in the
maybe,
same.
Maybe you're Stephen Hawking.
We're single A when it comes to science. You and I both.
But you do know that.
Oh, yeah.
That
49ers defense.
Yeah, a war.
Yes.
Could be a temporal anomaly that could destroy the entire universe. Granted, it could only be a local event, this galaxy. You know what that's from?
No, I don't.
What is that? Spaceballs?
No, that's Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
Oh, that was Doc from Back to the Future.
Oh, JJ. Get JJ Jasper to do that guy.
Yeah.
Now, I need to say to all the Brian Fisher fans out there who are listening, and they are legion.
Yes.
This morning we had a brief leadership meeting on Monday morning, and Brian, it's not Skype, was that Zoom? Or whatever. Anyway, he's on a big screen, and so he sits down. Of course, he's on the West Coast, so it's 2 hours early, so that's 6:30 his time, and he sits down at his computer, and he is in 49ers gear from head to toe. He has his big 49ers sweatshirt on. Then he sits down, puts on his 49ers cap. So
he might have wore that bed last night.
I don't know. He watches every single 49ers game.
Yeah.
He's been a fan for years. So I'm happy for him. I have a good friend, Brian Gillespie, who's been a Chiefs fan all his life. And so I'm just rooting for a good game.
And there's no more kneeling. That's been going like for a couple of years now, really. There's no more kneeling in the national anthem. I think the owners of the NFL saw what was happening. They were losing fans and they put a squash on that, huh?
Yeah.
And there were probably 10% of the players kneeling. This is what, 3 years ago when this happened? Was that when that happened?
Probably 3 years.
And that stopped.
Yeah.
That stopped.
It's been as long as Trump's been in office, I think. I think that's when it started, wasn't it?
Yeah.
2016?
Yeah. With Colin Kaepernick.
So maybe four. Isn't that right?
I think it was before. I think it was it was because of the Black Lives Matter movement and in solidarity with the stuff at Ferguson and everything. So that all happened before.
All right.
I think he might have started taking a knee before. He's been out of the league for 3 years now. And
okay.
I think.
Yeah. All right, Steve, what do you got?
Well, as you know, Thursday, the impeachment trial in the Senate begins. And the big question on everybody's mind.
It was countdown to kickoff. Is that what it is, Steve?
That's what it is. This is right. Okay. The irresistible
This is the pre-impeachment show.
This is.
Huh?
We should have it outside.
That's right.
Know, with, yeah.
In
right.
the cold.
Like they do.
Well, the big question on everybody's mind is, will there be witnesses? Will this thing drag out forever? And I wanted to play a clip. This is the media giving their two cents on whether or not the impeachment should be quick or long. This is cut 10.
It's been, the whole issue has been a sham. It shouldn't have gotten this far. The House acted improperly in passing it on to the Senate.
Why is your party dragging this thing out?
Why is this happening?
Why go through all this this business about witnesses?
Do we really need more witnesses?
It's going to add months to this thing.
Will these people just get down to business and leave this impeachment thing alone?
It's going to be an enormous distraction.
This process is Stalinist.
That herd of managers from the House. I mean, frankly, all they were missing was white sheets. They were like Knight Riders.
One White House official told me today, in 20 years, he said, people will remember three things about this, that the president was impeached in the House, that he was acquitted in the Senate, and that the whole thing was a partisan hit job.
Yeah, I might have made a mistake. That was actually from 1998, the media talking about the Clinton impeachment.
Are you serious?
That was the media in 1998 talking about the Clinton impeachment and how witnesses were just not needed, that this was going to drag everything out, that he was going to be impeached and it was partisan. Now, what are they saying now? What they're saying now is cut 5.
In any trial, all relevant witnesses must be heard. Any Republican senator who says there should be no witnesses or even that witnesses should be negotiated is part of the cover-up.
Let's bring in the witnesses. Let's put the truth before the American people.
We don't know what witnesses will be allowed and even if we'll be allowed witnesses.
I also want to hear witnesses and see the new evidence.
And we believe that a fair trial involves witnesses.
Let's call the witnesses.
Of course, that being the politicians now on the Democrat side playing the exact opposite tune. The mainstream media, it so happens, is right in their pocket. So I thought that was remarkable, the
that is very
shoe on the other foot-ism.
Very interesting. And, of course, we've been listening throughout this whole process to some of the name players in this drama mm-hmm. on the Democratic side. Jerry Nadler, for example.
That's who you
Congressman from New York. And others, Chuck Schumer and others. What they said in 98 as opposed to what they're saying now, and it's always the complete opposite. And to be fair, that's probably true about the Republicans as well. It's just politics, and people, I think, understand this is political. This isn't really about legalities.
Well, and the Republicans are quick to say that there was at least a crime back in 1998.
Yes.
You can debate whether or not it should have been impeached.
Right.
What he did, what President Clinton did in the Oval Office was unconscionable and vile. And then
he committed perjury.
And then he committed perjury, which is what he was. Which is what he was.
That's lying under oath, for whatever reason, for a sitting president of the United States of America, for whatever reason. Again, I know some would say, well, it was just about sex. To lie under oath is a serious matter.
Yeah, the rest of us, if we lie under oath, it doesn't matter whether we thought that what we were lying about was important enough. It's just what is important that you lie.
Right, but there was, to your point, Steve, there was a crime that President Clinton committed that he was punished for. With respect to President Trump, the Democrats can't cite a crime.
Right.
And it's the first time in history, now it's been rare, what, 5 or 6 times maybe that
three.
We've gone
this
three.
Is number three.
Three.
Because
it was Andrew.
This is number 4.
Andrew Johnson.
Richard Nixon.
Was he actually in? I don't think he was.
He resigned before it.
Yes.
I think the House.
But there was a crime.
Yes.
There was a crime committed by those some of the top lieutenants for President Nixon that could be cited.
And he covered it up, tried to cover up the
So you got multiple crimes there. So this is the first time that a impeachment process has taken place without a crime.
Right. Yeah, so we'll see what happens. I'm thinking, what I think you guys talked about this earlier. Did you guys talk about the kill switch that the Republicans, Mitch McConnell's thinking about putting in?
No.
So what's happening right now is the Senate is putting together its rules. You may remember that the House did this. They put together their rules when they had the committees look and give testimony about impeachment. Their rules happen to be that we're going to do this in a basement in secret, and we're not going to allow the president any witnesses. And we, and as far as a rebuttal hearing, they still might have one, but they never got it. Those were the rules the Senate put together. Well, the House put together. The Senate is now putting together their rules, and it will probably favor the president and the Republicans. But what they're thinking of doing now is having a – if Democrats start stretching this out and want this to take months and to gum up the election, President Trump's lawyers can have a motion that will say, we're just going to dismiss these charges because they're not trying this case in good faith. They're making it too political.
That's what they call
a trigger, a kill switch. A kill switch, right. Yeah. They can kill the impeachment right on the spot if they appeal to this. And I don't know if Chief Justice Roberts
–
I don't know if Chief Justice Roberts has the authority to say yes or no to that. It's not really
Nobody knows because this is so rare in our republic that there isn't anything outlined. The Senate has to – write the rules, so we don't know whether John Roberts, the Chief Justice, who will preside over this trial, whether he's going to go, you can't do that, or he's going to say, you set up the rules, this is the Senate's chamber, so nobody knows what he's going to do.
Yeah, so we will see. This.
I can't wait. This is just...
So impeachment requires a supermajority in the Senate. Regardless of whether Mitt Romney and Collins from Maine and Murkowski from Alaska, how they vote, there's no way that there is going to be a supermajority that will
67 ask, votes.
They will never get that, and this will be he will be acquitted. And as Mrs. Pelosi, we heard last hour, he will be acquitted forever. And so we wait and see what's going to happen. It's going to be quite the week.
Tim says this kind of thing about I can't listen to this, or I don't want to listen to this. I can't stand to hear Nancy Pelosi go on and on about how this is about the Constitution and saving our republic. Just admit this is about hating Donald Trump from day one. This is all you've got because nothing else has come up for you to try to remove him from office. Please don't couch this any longer in your characterization of this as if you are standing against the Huns,
right?
You know, invading the Roman Empire, and this is about saving life as we know it. This is about the failure of the Democrats and the Hillary Clinton campaign to win the 2016 election, and they've never gotten over that.
But to your point, the Democrats, a lot of them, are treating this as if it's our last stand, and as if Trump wins another election, it's all over. I want you to hear a noted political expert who has, I'm sure, many degrees in doctoral degrees in political science and politics, actor John Cusack from Hollywood. he was on the stump for Bernie Sanders, and this was him at a Bernie Sanders rally. This is what he had to say.
We know this form of capitalism takes whatever, whenever, however it wants. It'll take our lives, it'll take our labor, our spirit, our air and water, even our earth. And Bernie respects us enough to tell the truth, the hard truth. We have a 10 to 12 year window to radically transform our energy systems, or climate change, predatory capitalism, and the endless war economies will rob us of the right to any future at all.
No future at all.
How come? What is it? What's the magic use of 10 years about? I mean, this is what AOC said. We got 10 years. Yeah. We're all underwater. And now John Cusack, the actor.
It's far enough away.
Is he a B actor now? Or is he an
I don't think he's ever been an A-list actor.
Well,
okay.
I mean, he's not a Russell Crowe or a
John Cusack. But anyway,
Mel Gibson. He's on that level. I don't think
he's still been in a lot of movies, made a lot of money.
Yes. Okay. And he can thank capitalism for that.
That's right. He can. And to your question, 10 years. I think that's far enough out that they think that people aren't going to be able to hold. They won't remember in 10 years what somebody said. Although we're learning that that's not the case because the internet is forever. But it's also enough time during their speech, 10 years. We can do this in 10 years. If they were on the stump speech and said, we have 2 years, it's too late, we're all going to die, what's the point?
Right.
Yeah, but the 10 years is unprovable. And like you say, if you 10 years, if you get – 10 years is some sense of urgency, I guess, is what you – So John Cusack said on behalf of, sort of probably on behalf of Bernie Sanders, saying we got 10 years. Mm-hmm. But they end a lot of stuff. Not only global warming, but you got
capitalism.
Capitalism.
Predatory capitalism. Which is the kind they don't like. Listen. Yeah.
I would like to see how much taxes John Cusack pays voluntarily.
Let me just tell you. I don't know the answer to that question, but let me tell you what he does have. Okay. And again, who knows? I'm just guessing, okay? But I think I'm right on this. And you guys have 10 years to prove me wrong.
All right.
Okay? Is what John Cusack has is a money guy, an accountant or whatever, who gets him every legal tax shelter he can to pay the least amount of taxes he can so that he gets to keep as much money as he can. Now, any of you guys think I'm wrong about that?
Oh, no. I believe
you think
it.
You think
he's a capitalist.
You think John Cusack goes to H&R Block somewhere before April 15th? I'm not knocking H&R Block.
Right.
But this guy who makes millions and millions of dollars, you think he goes there and says, hey, you know, whatever you got in your little computer program is good with me. I just want to be in and out of here in 15 minutes.
And no. I want to pay my fair share of taxes.
And I want to pay my fair share of
taxes. Actually, I want to go above and beyond.
Yeah. No, he doesn't do that.
He doesn't?
I'm just saying. I don't know the man. I have no idea. I am guessing. I think I have a 95% chance of being right on this.
Yeah, nobody is, you know, the you can write a check to the federal treasury. Mm-hmm. And
give 90%, John.
Volunteer. Am I right?
Yes, you can.
You can do that if you want to.
You absolutely can. You have to file your form.
Yeah.
So you have to do that.
But so these communists and socialists, they don't ever say, well, I just finished giving 95% of my money to the federal government. Why? Because I believe in what I'm saying.
Right. Huh? Just like we make fun of these people who are global warming, man-made global warming people, who say, hey, come on out at night to see my new movie. You know, I know that that's extra carbon emissions. And
they don't believe it.
No, they don't believe that either.
None of these. You might find a handful, but most all these Hollywood and celebrity types who are on the global warming train. Does the train emit carbon emissions?
Absolutely.
Trains do.
You got to stay home. Okay, home.
Then I need to
electric train.
I need to change my analogy. Electric train.
There are electric trains.
All these, 95% of them don't believe it. By as Ed has pointed out, by their actions, they're only virtue signaling. Right. Which is the way they are on a lot of issues, as we saw with the Me Too movement. We saw how much sexual predatory actions go on at the top levels of Hollywood. That was only exposed probably because of the Me Too movement. These liberals are not going to, and these people who are sounding the alarms about global warming are not going to change their own behavior.
Right.
Elton John is not going to start frying on United Coach. Okay? It's just not going to happen.
Right.
All these people are elitist, and they leave, they want us, the little people, to quit flying at all.
Yes.
Or to quit using,
Well, AOC said we need to get rid of automobiles, right? No more flying.
She wants us to take the train to Hawaii, I think.
Yeah,
if I recall.
So or some.
It's
one
just
of
so
them
mockable.
Did. Yeah, it's so mockable. So, now you'll get some of them are true believers. Bernie Sanders is a true believer in communism.
Huh? Except doesn't he have three homes?
And socialism.
I
would just say Bernie Sanders has been this way for, now he may be changing because he's getting rich off his book, which he told somebody the other day, well, you write a book then.
You write a book.
Right, which is exactly capitalism, isn't it?
Exactly right.
He got mad because somebody said, you're making you're a millionaire because of your book. And he said, well, you want to be a millionaire? You write a book.
Right.
Hey, amen. High five me there, Bernie.
That's right.
But the problem is Bernie wants to you to write a book and then take 95% of your money from the sales of
it. We take your money. I keep my money.
You got it going on pretty good there, Ed. But anyway, he's a true believer.
Yeah, I think he is.
In his cause. But all right, next story, Steve.
All right. Staying on the political trail, I wanted to play you something from Joe Biden, who is also, while he's not
with
saying,
or without stuttering.
I've taken the stuttering out. I've taken the stuttering out. I
just
want to
make sure we can understand it clearly.
I want to reflect accurately on okay. Uncle Joe. But this is, he's not saying we have 10 years. He's saying we have gone back a century. This is, he was at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Columbia, South Carolina, a black church on Sunday.
Some mornings I wake up and I think it's more like what it must have been in 1920 than 2020. And a young woman was killed.
Talking about Charlottesville.
And they asked the president what he thought. And he said there were very fine people on both sides. What I realized is that hate just hides. And when it comes out from under the rocks, when it gets a little bit of oxygen, this president and his Ku Klux Klans and the rest of them, they think they've beaten us again. But they have no idea. We're just coming back.
Oh, there you go. That's what I was talking about earlier before you were on, Steve, right there. And this is this former vice president of the United States.
Right.
You're talking about fomenting hate.
Yeah.
By the way, he's pandering to that. They didn't get a lot of rousing applause. I don't know how many people.
I cut that out.
he got rousing applause?
He got a lot of applause. I made some cuts for time.
But he's saying Donald Trump is the leader of the KKK.
Yes.
Basically. That's what he's saying. And those who voted for him are KKK members.
And the president did not say, this is almost slanderous.
Right.
It is. Okay?
It is. That
poor woman that was killed, run over, and then Joe Biden says, and the president says there are good people on both sides, as if the president was applauding the man who drove through the crowd and ran over the woman. That is almost slanderous.
Yes, he did that on purpose.
Not in a legal sense. It is morally slandering a person because that is not at all what the president said. And we don't want to go back and revisit Charlottesville, but that's wrong, him doing that.
Right, right. He knew what he was doing. He's lying. Pandering.
Yes.
He was pandering to that crowd there at the African-American church. Where was that?
In South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina.
Because they've got a primary coming up Charlottesville
thing, they'll bring this up again in the next election. And, you know, the rest of this year, it's going to be the battle cry for Charlottesville. And that whole thing was, President Trump said there's very good people on both sides. He made it clear he wasn't talking about the alt-right.
The white supremacists. In fact, he specifically said, not those white supremacists.
He was talking about the people there to support keeping the statue of General Lee, Robert E. Lee, in the park.
Right.
And they were there peacefully to assemble to represent that cause. Here comes Antifa. Picking a fight with them.
Right.
And we see what happens there.
Speaking of Charlottesville, just one quick note. Heather Heyer was the poor lady that was killed there. Her mother, Susan Brough, has issued a statement that says, I own guns and I think the Virginia gun ban goes too far.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. All right. So anyway, thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Folks, thanks for tuning into the program today. And
can I just make one quick thing? The article, the column that you wrote that you said will be in the AFA Journal, that will be in the March Journal. So folks who are getting like the February Journal, they'll look and they won't find it. That'll be in March.
I may post it prior to that on our website or on our Facebook page, but I'll let our listeners know. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you here tomorrow.